I am with Jessica Friedrichs, professor of social work at Carlo University in Pittsburgh. And Jess is one of our members of the collaborative discussion project and one of our curriculum contributors. You, Jess, have contributed a lot of activities to our toolkit and early on in this project. Thank you so much. And today we wanted to talk about activity 5.1, which is in the civic module, identifying your civic passion. So, could you tell us a little bit of how you came up with this activity?
Well, thanks, Shannon. And it's been really fun being involved in Interactivity Foundation. So this activity, we always called it the Sweet 16, and I'll explain that in a second. But basically, what I found is when I was teaching people to think about public policy, I realized that it was most impactful if people could connect the policy issues that are happening in the world with something they've experienced or with their own life or with something they just care about, something they're passionate about. But making that connection between something that happened in your own life and the policy realm is pretty abstract. So I actually came up with this. I remember I was with a mentor of mine and I was talking that through. And I'm guessing he was the basketball fan because I am not a basketball fan. But we had the idea, if you could have a group of people start generating their, thoughts about what matters in their life and what kind of policy issues are important and what populations they want to serve, and then rank those somehow, it would be really reflective. So I believe it was him that said, let's turn this into a Sweet 16 model where you play it like a basketball game and you start generating, various topics that you care about or populations you'd like to make a difference with, but then you pit two against each other in different brackets. And as you ask yourself, well, which one would I want to serve more? You get some clarity on what your values are, what you're most passionate about. So it's kind of a, cute way to think through these very broad ideas.
Hey, thanks, Jess. And so let's talk through the mechanics of this. So if a group of students or participants, if you're doing this in the community, we provide a Sweet 16 bracket, how do they start? Like, what's their first step?
Well, I think it's really important that the group takes ownership early on over what are some of the issues that matter to them. So it works well to have individuals first brainstorm. So I often will say, if there was some issue you could make a difference in the world, what would it be? Like looking back on your life, what would feel meaningful to you if you made a difference in this issue? And have each individual start generating their own list. So they may say racial justice, gun violence, the environment. So they're going to come up with all sorts of different things. And then in the one that we generated for the Interactivity Foundation, at that point you have the group come together and start sharing those out. So you really, you're asking the group to start, okay, let's generate kind of a big long list of what matters to us. I'd say at this point, it's important to have the group own the language. I wouldn't use your own terms. I would let the group call it what it is. So you might have called it police brutality, and they call it murders by police. Go with murders by police because you want the group to really own and feel connected to it. And let the group debate, what should we call that? Why should we call it that? Because that also generates good collaborative discussion. So the group starts generating these, and you want to build them into about 16 buckets. And then it's on the facilitator to help them to bake the brackets. I noticed that, if you make the brackets a little bit more related, it can be more interesting for them to choose between. So sometimes they have two kind of very similar ones, something within the environmental justice movement and something that's related to the environment. You put those two together because it has the group asking hard questions about, is one of those causing the other one? Is, when they have to choose between which one would they want to work on for their, let's say they were working together as a group on this issue.
Okay. And so, oh, so if I could, so So they generate a master list first in their own language, and then they have to figure out, with the help of the facilitator, how to seed the brackets, right? And so I think what you described there is you could seed the brackets topically. And then another way to seed it, that we have in the toolkit description, is to rank order those topics. So, like, if, for example, they voted, like, this could be a deliberative moment where you give each participant like 5 points and they can vote. And then if you really want to do it like a tournament seed, you would put number 16 against number one and number two against number 15, because you don't want the two most popular ones to face off right away, right? So that's I think for the folks who really want to stay true to the tournament model, right? Like you and I, we've talked about this. Like we we're like, what? Seeding a tournament, what? But we have had other coaches and facilitators say, like, hey, if we're gonna do a tournament, it has to be seeded properly. So that's one way to do it, or doing it topically, like you just suggested. Both, I think both work fine. It really depends on, I think, timing and maybe the list that they generate as well. So at some point, if they, generate like a list of 50, how do you get it down to 16, for example? So maybe you have to do some voting or deliberation to get to that point. And then they face off, right? And so can you talk us through that collaborative discussion component, like when they're facing off, number two against number 15, like how does the group decide who moves on in the tournament?
Yeah, so great points about that. I think time is probably of the essence of how much, if you have less time with them, you're probably going to want to help seed those brackets for them. But if you have more time and more processing time, then maybe you want to have them seed those brackets. And yeah, so then now it's time. Now you have your brackets. So your conversation is how do we choose between these two topics in each bracket? And make the decision for who's going to be our elite eight. So I again, it's a little bit time sensitive how you want to do this. You can do voting in those. You can vote along the way in those if you kind of want to move through it, or you can take the time to talk it through. It's really depends on how much time you have and what your goal is with the group. But ultimately, you're going to have your elite eight, and then help me get this right. I'm not actually a basketball fan. Final four, is that right? Before you get to your last two. One thing I think about this is that, well, I'll just finish describing it. So now you get to your final two, and that's where it helps, I think, as a facilitator to present it with some gravity. Like we are going to commit to doing something on this topic. And if you have a group that you're going to be working with for over a course of a semester or 8 weeks, a community group, you can this is a great early activity to say, what do we all care about? And let's actually work on this for the rest of the time we're together. So it's nice if it feels like it really matters in terms of making that choice. And ultimately you'll get a winner. And then you debrief, at that point. And one thing I want to say is the most important point of this activity or part of this activity is the reflection and the debrief, not the playing of the game. But the game is really fun and people like the game, so the game is a good means to the reflection.
And can you speak more about like what participants get out of the reflection and the debrief?
Yeah, so sometimes it's the game is artificial, so some people get really bogged down in, but this issue is overlaps with this issue, so I can't choose between the two of them because they are interrelated, of course. So it's artificial. The game is just to get the conversation going. But what you really want to have them doing on both an individual level and as a group is asking those hard questions about why did you discard an issue? Why did you throw out that particular issue? Is it because what criteria were you using? Is it because the issue seems intractable to you? You just don't think that you're going to make a dent in it? Does it not matter to you for some reason? And why doesn't it matter to you? And that's where you get into some really interesting conversation around identities and what people bring to the group. So someone might say, honestly, I've never even thought about that issue because it's just not part of my life experience and it doesn't affect me. And others might say, some of these issues, have evolved for them over the course of their life. At different stages of their life, these issues change. So you start really honing in on how our identity shapes what we care about in the policy realm. And that's a really interesting conversation for people to be having about civic passion, and that they can apply both to themselves, but also to other people that they're talking to. Like, why does someone not care about this issue that you feel is so, so, so important? Well, it just may not connect to any of their life experience or whatnot. So you really, the debriefing and talking about what got thrown out and why and who argued for that and, you know, how you ended up with that winner and how bought in people are on that winner is where you get into the really rich parts of this activity.
Oh, thank you, Jess. I think that sounds awesome. And I agree. All the times that we've done this activity, I think it's really that reflection and debriefing where you really start to understand who's in the room, what they care about, the values that they're bringing to the discussion and why and experience. So I think that's really, it's a great activity. And as you pointed out, if you could do it earlier, like if you're doing it in a class in the semester, it could really inform the trajectory of the class. And if you're doing it in a workshop, like maybe this is a way for a community to figure out like what they want to focus on. So I see that value in. So it's not just an activity, but there's actually something at stake for what the group decides as the winner. If for anyone listening, I mean, the tens of people that perhaps are listening to us right now, what would be a cautionary tale or a red flag that you would want to note for anybody who wants to implement this activity? What should they be looking out for that, you know, that you've done this so many times, you would want to give them just a heads up, look out for this or that.
A couple things. Other people are also not basketball fans, so they don't know what you're talking about when you say we're going to be doing a Sweet 16 bracket. That I'm not a basketball fan helped because I'm always very clear in explaining what we're going to do. But you'd be amazed at how tripped up people get in the bracket concept. Like, what are we doing? I'm confused. So you really have to slow that down. We're going to be seeding these brackets. Imagine a basketball tournament. We're going to be putting two against each other to pick the next one. Just slow that down so that people don't get kind of lost in the shuffle. That's one thing. It does take a minute for people to get caught up. But once they get it, then it's really, they enjoy it. And that part's really fun. I think another pitfall, or not pitfall, but maybe just something to think about is, again, the original intention of this activity had a lot to do with people connecting policy to their own life. So I think the more you can have in the brainstorming phase where people are generating ideas, the more you can help them by maybe having some prompts to think about things that have happened to them and how those connect to policy, especially maybe when you're working with students. The better. They don't always make that connection. So you might want to ask questions that prompt that, or give examples of other people. I know we put an example of Amanda Wynn in the toolkit activity, who was a sexual assault survivor, but that experience caused her to basically look into what the laws were around sexual assault rights, like the rights of people who've been assaulted, and get very involved in the policy realm, and ultimately, you know, help pass a federal bill, lobby for and pass a federal bill related to that area because of her own personal experience. So I always bring that piece in to help people kind of see the connection. It helps them to generate ideas. Otherwise, it can feel really abstract. So I think helping them think about the experiences they've had in their life and how those might connect to policy issues is really helpful. And then the only other major pitfall is they really get bogged down in, I can't pick between these two because, you know, when I used to do it, I would kind of pick general broad populations. Like I would say, I'm in social work. So I would say, if you had to, you know, serve the elderly for the rest of your career or the youth for the rest of your career, which would you choose? And they would be like, ah, you know, it's supposed to feel like that, but they do get a little caught up in like, I can't make this decision. I'm being cruel to one of these issues or whatever. So you have to kind of just, again, you know, move them along. Don't let them get too bogged down in the 16 part, because remember, the key is the time to focus on what did we end up with and how does that help us understand how policy plays out in our society and what people care about.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. And I wonder too, like maybe as a tip, if they can do some, like maybe if you could even break it up where some of the initial generation of ideas could be done before they come together, or maybe offline before class or before the workshop, because this is a lot to do in 1 hour, right? So even if like breaking it into phases maybe might be helpful, because you don't want to rush the discussion and you don't want to skip the debriefing. So maybe chunking it out a little bit could also be helpful for those who have time to do so.
I think that's a great idea.
Well, thank you, Jess. I love collaborating with you, and I love all of your toolkit activities. So the one we're talking about today is activity 5.1, identifying your civic passion, which we also call the Sweet 16 activity. And we hope people try it out. March Madness is coming, so it fits thematically for those of you who care about college basketball. So please give it a go, and then go to the website and rate this activity, and let us know how you used it, how you modified it, how it worked for you, and leave tips and tricks for other folks to who want to use this activity. The idea is that we're building all of these collaborative tools together, so we hope these are some of our best practices that we use in the classroom or the community, so we want to share those with others. Thank you for sharing this one with us, Jess. It's one of my favorites.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Shannon.